Welcome to Move the Needle. This show is designed to inform, educate, motivate, and provide perspective on all things related to pharmacy provided immunization services. Let's start moving the needle. Hello, and welcome to this month's edition of the Move the Needle podcast. I'm joined again by Ed Cohen from Pharmacy Times and John Beckner from NCPA. And like the name implies, Move the Needle is designed to inform, educate, motivate, and provide perspective on all things related to pharmacy-provided immunization services. Last month, we had a lot of different topics going on, but for this month's episode, we really want to tone in on vaccination rates and immunization business. So, John and Ed, I want to begin this episode discussing the need and opportunity for pharmacy to be the center of immunizations. There's a lot of people out there that still aren't fully vaccinated, even though the vaccines in this case are the sole opportunity to protect ourselves from harmful disease, just like COVID-19 right now. Why do either of you believe there are gaps in immunization uptake right now, considering some are recommended versus required? Can you guys go into that more?
You know, I think the gaps in immunizations have always existed, and certainly the gaps are contributing to vaccination rates being lower than we would like them to be. And specifically during the pandemic, there were a number of gaps in routine immunizations. People were not coming to the physician's office to have their regular visits. And subsequently, a lot of people were staying at home. There were some stay-at-home orders in place in a number of states. So a lot of things kind of fell by the wayside, you know, routine visits, you know, preventative services. And along with that came immunization. I think a number of gaps, but, you know, like with most problems, you know, there are opportunities. And I think gaps present a tremendous opportunity for pharmacists to continue to be involved and be the place for immunizations, both for COVID vaccines and others.
John, I couldn't agree with you anymore. It's just alarming to see the gaps that are existing today. And it's so refreshing to see that pharmacy has been identified as a center for immunizations. Let's talk just for a quick minute around recommended versus required vaccines. Why we see that childhood immunizations have had such success being required. And then when you get to the adolescents and adult populations, vaccines are recommended. And we see such a drop off in immunization services and the uptake of those services. How can we work together through pharmacy to really make a difference to change that perception of those recommended vaccines?
Ed, that's a great point. I think when you look at childhood vaccinations, you know, vaccines are really the best protection against a number of highly contagious, serious diseases. And over time, we've seen the eradication, almost total eradication of diseases like measles, mumps, rubella, diphtheria, and polio. And again, those immunizations or vaccinations have been required. But like you say, when you get into vaccines that are recommended, we don't do so well. Case in point, I think we're continuing to build up steam with regard to seasonal flu, although rates for that are not exactly what we would like them to be. And then you continue to get fall off with things like pneumococcal vaccine and things like that. I think the bottom line is a lot of people just don't like to be told what to do. And, you know, when they make the choice of whether they're going to get a recommended vaccine, such as seasonal flu or pneumococcal vaccine or Shingrix, you're going to see a pretty significant fall off. And that's unfortunate because, again, I reiterate the point about vaccines are your best protection against a lot of diseases, COVID included.
It is kind of disheartening. That's the way it has been. But looking forward, I'm rather optimistic, more so today than probably ever before in the history of being involved in immunization practices. We're seeing such a focus on pharmacy, number one, community offered immunizations, especially with COVID today. 70% of all COVID vaccines that have been administered in a pharmacy. So if you look at the numbers of people that have actually come to the pharmacy, be it in the store itself or in an offsite opportunity, the pharmacies are very free to let people know who's offering the service. And we're surely getting a reputation for being that center of immunization services. I'm excited about that. Some of the things, John, you and I talked about in our last episode, and as we continue to explore immunization practices, we've got over two generations of fully trained immunizers coming out of colleges of pharmacy. That in itself makes immunization practices part of the practice of pharmacy. But still, we don't have all the pharmacies doing it.
Exactly. And I think, you know, back to your point about the 70% of all COVID vaccines have been administered in pharmacies. I mean, that's been one of the major learnings from the pandemic, is that more folks are willing to receive vaccinations at the pharmacy. There are a number of reasons for this. Pharmacies are accessible. People trust the pharmacist. Folks have had a good experience when they came to the pharmacy. They feel safe. The pharmacist has not only provided the vaccines, but they've also been a source of credible information. Again, I think this is really going to help pharmacy make immunizations a core competency. The fact that immunization training programs are part of the curriculum at virtually all schools of pharmacy now is certainly going to help them. I think folks are coming out of school already trained. They don't have to go to work and then take time out to do a 20-hour certification program with immunizations. They're already getting the experience. Certainly that partnership with academia is going to be very important, particularly with folks that may already be out of school and have been working and for whatever reason don't have an immunization program. Being able to partner with academia for training and certainly staffing with students who are starved to get that type of experience. And all these things really help with expanding immunizations in community pharmacy.
Well, we see that the students get their training earlier and earlier in their academic time at the colleges of pharmacy. And as you just stated so eloquently, they're starving for that experience and they're getting hands-on experience while they're in the pharmacies, because the states have recognized student pharmacists. And of course, the privilege is not equal across all states, unfortunately, but they are getting an array of experience, hands-on experience, while they're students, which is wonderful. And again, you and I are in total agreement that we can't thank academia enough for the assistance and the support that they provide to the pharmacy, the community pharmacy arena, especially the independent community pharmacies, to support them and really help them to expand their practice. One of the things that has often been on my mind is when you're in a chain environment, and please excuse me for saying that, I did spend a lot of time there. Everybody is providing the service across all stores. And when you get into the independent community space, you're seeing where 75-ish, 78% of the independent community pharmacies are providing that service. You know, I often wonder, why isn't everybody doing it?
You know, I often wonder the same thing, Ed, and it makes you scratch your head as to why you wouldn't want to offer that service. There are probably a number of factors, folks that have been practicing for a long time that have not, for whatever reason, have not decided to offer immunizations. Human nature to resist change. I think folks are resistant to change, and for that reason, they may feel that implementing an immunization program is something that's going to be too much for them to handle. They may have inventory concerns, the carrying cost of inventory, because a lot of vaccines are expensive. One of the bigger barriers or issues today are billing and reimbursement concerns, which may be rather complicated as to, you know, whether you're going to bill the prescription benefit or the medical benefit. Lots of these things contribute to that percentage not being higher than the 75 to 78% of independent folks that are administering immunizations, but gives me an opportunity to promote something that NCPA developed recently with support from Pfizer, It's a guide to implementing vaccine services in community pharmacy, and it really covers the implementation of new immunization services, expanding your portfolio. It goes A to Z, and it's really a great resource for those folks looking to, like I say, either expand their portfolio or implement a new enhanced services like immunization. So there have been reasons in the past not to implement a service, but there are lots of resources to help you do that today.
Well, I will tell you that I saw that resource and I actually printed a copy and currently reviewing it. You're never too old to learn something new. So there may be some new pearls in there that I'm going to discover.
Well, we're going to have a whole bunch of hard copies at the NCPA annual meeting, which starts on Saturday in Charlotte. So if you want an actual hard copy, I'll make sure you get one. And it's also going to be an insert in the October issue of America's Pharmacist, which is the NCPA publication. So I appreciate the opportunity to give a public service announcement about the new resource.
It's a good resource and it's needed because as we know, as pharmacists, you do something repetitively and you stay within your comfort zone, you're missing out on newer, better practices. And some of the things that have come to the forefront during these past 18 months, focusing in on COVID, not only testing, but immunization services, is the array of technology resources that have come to the forefront. We see more and more pharmacies embracing software for appointments to schedule patients to come in at certain times. We're seeing an array of enhancements and ways to bill not only the pharmacy benefit and understanding that completely, which we do, but then moving over to the medical benefit and getting that set up in stores across the country and helping independent community pharmacists not only get the medical billing set up, but also helping with contracting. We're seeing just so much movement in that direction today. It's very refreshing to see. And we need that because without that secondary revenue stream in the pharmacy, we are struggling with regular prescriptions. So if we don't embrace the service aspect of pharmacy and be able to bill for those enhanced services, we're missing out.
Yeah, one thing to add, Ed, is that, and again, I'm sure you'll agree, is, you know, one of these days we're going to find something that we're not in agreement on. But with respect to this, you know, when you and I got started in immunizations were really a differentiator. You know, the folks that you were involved with, the folks that I was involved with, we were probably one of the only games in town when it came to providing that service. Now everybody's doing it. You can't go to work for a chain unless you agree to give immunization. So it's really an issue of competitive parity. If you're not offering that service today, you're really missing out and not in the ballgame. I think that's an important message. The other message I want to convey is it's never too late to begin offering a service like immunization. Even though you've not done it to this point, beginning now, certainly with all the goodwill that's come out of pharmacists have been able to do with COVID, it's a great time to be implementing that service.
You are 100% correct. And one of the things that is helping pharmacy to embrace the overwhelming volume of folks coming to the pharmacy for both COVID and now flu immunizations is the opportunity that's been afforded to our pharmacy technicians and getting them trained in expanding what I'll call the army of immunizers in a community pharmacy. I've been to the pharmacy now, proudly state, for my flu shot and my COVID vaccines 5 different times. And I will tell you that 4 of the 5 times I've been immunized by a pharmacy technician and only once by the pharmacist. I understand the process and I'm one of those that sits in the booth and asks a lot of questions of the technician to make sure that they're really enjoying the opportunity and they're well knowledged and competent. And it's been a wonderful experience every single time. Just amazing.
Ed, I'm really glad to hear that. And for those folks that might be a little bit skeptical, I'll be honest with you. I was skeptical way back when. I really felt like this needed to be totally in the pharmacist's purview, but I've changed my opinion over time. And I think having technicians involved in immunizations provides an opportunity to not only expand your immunization program, but other patient care services. And these folks are appropriately trained. Technicians and interns and students can't provide immunizations without appropriate training. So you've got that confidence that the person is going to be trained to provide that service. So I'm glad you brought that up.
Well, I see the technicians have, I believe that they have to be trained for their core role as a technician and be certified through an exam. And then the next level is getting them immunization training.
Exactly.
And then, of course, the experience and understanding, as we do, the level of training and the amount of training that they go through. And they, of course, sitting for an exam to ensure that they're competent for their all of their activities is, it's very refreshing. And if we could tell that story a little differently to give the general public that confidence, I'm not sure how many of the people that come to the pharmacy understand that the technician comes out and doesn't self-identify as a pharmacy technician. You have to ask. So I'm not sure how many people realize that they're being immunized by a technician. Not that it makes a difference. I think it would be kudos to the technician audience that's listening if they would self-identify and let people know that they are trained and certified to provide this service as a pharmacist as well.
Agree with you, Ed. And if you remember back when pharmacists got the authority to immunize, we had to do a selling job with the public who were used to having nurses.
Yes, yes. I remember this how many times really I got called out. Are you a nurse? Are you a nurse? Can you do this? Are you a nurse? Can you do this?
I can't tell you how many times I got that question.
Let's touch on a couple things that I'll set the stage for our next episode. And we see so much as we started this conversation, we started talking about gaps in immunization rates. And one of the terms that you hear a lot about is vaccine hesitancy. And why are people hesitant to get their vaccines, not only for COVID, but also for seasonal flu? Seasonal flu vaccines have been around for decades now, and you still have a core group of people that just don't believe and won't embrace. And we talked earlier about life-saving vaccines and how it's the only sound therapy or ways to protect yourself from these terrible illnesses. And, you know, it's such a burden on our pharmacy teams to need to embrace with people who say, well, maybe another time, I don't really believe in it, I don't want it.
I'm glad you brought that up. I think vaccine hesitancy probably merits an entire podcast. There's so much to unpack here.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, like you said, vaccine hesitancy exists or has existed really in some degree with all vaccines and has contributed a lot to rates not being what we would like them to be. And, you know, a number of reasons for this, a number of reasons causing people not to get vaccinated. You know, we'll go into this on the next podcast, but those reasons are can be very different than they've been with seasonal flu and some of the other vaccines. So you hear a lot today about pharmacy burnout, or burnout by any healthcare professional. And I think the vaccine hesitancy issue is certainly playing into that. So I'm excited about being able to really delve into that topic on our next podcast.
So one last question, I'll share a couple of thoughts and then I'll pose to you, John. We see a lot in the news today about vaccine mandates. So we started the conversation talking about required versus recommended. And now you hear about these vaccine mandates. Well, essentially, you're taking a recommended vaccine and making it a requirement. You're seeing huge numbers of folks, because it is mandated or required, coming to the pharmacy and other places to get their immunizations. And that'll go along with our topics next month. But are you a fan of vaccine mandates? Is that something that, surely it helps us all across the board, but...
As a general rule, Ed, I'm not in favor of mandates, but I think we're operating in unprecedented times here. And when vaccine mandates are necessary to protect the health of the community, if the health of the community cannot be achieved by other means, well, then I'm not necessarily opposed to those under the appropriate circumstances. I know we're going to get more into that. I know it's a controversial issue, and you know, I guess podcasts are designed to address controversial issues.
So yes, they are.
Going more into that. And, you know, we may hit on something that you and I don't agree on, but
I don't think that's ever going to happen. John, again, I want to thank you for taking some time and joining me today. And to all of our listeners, thank you very, very much.
Thank you guys, both of you. That was a very informative episode. I was very intrigued by everything you guys said. And like John and Ed said, our next episode for next month is going to focus on vaccine hesitancy, burnout, and other hot topics in that area.